The name of your new album is Words Fail,
right,
which comes from a famous quote. Can you tell us where the quote comes from and maybe talk a little bit about what it means to you?
Well, Words Fail comes sort of from Where Words Fail, Music Speaks by Hans Christian Andersen. But that's sort of just like an overarching theme behind this exploration that I undertook. I would say I started this process about a year and a half, 2 years ago, where for my next album, I have two albums. So for my third album, I really wanted to explore something different. And that led me to try to understand why it is that I do music in general. Why have I dedicated my life to music? Why, you know, what's so special about it? You know, now that I've been doing this for a while. And I realized that it's the ability of music to... I found in my life that music expresses so much more than I ever really possibly can in words. And that kind of led me to Where Words Fail, Music Speaks, which indeed is is the case. And so that's where that kind of overarching theme comes from. But I explored this kind of through a variety of different musical subjects.
Yeah, you have a wide variety of music on this recording, and I want to talk about as much of it as I can. It's a little bit ironic that you and I right now have the challenge of talking about music that transcends words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to put that into words. But a good place to start is with the foundation of the album, which I would say, tell me if you agree, are the Mendelssohn Songs Without Words.
Well, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, when I kind of... I asked myself, how am I going to set about doing this? And then I quickly realized that one of my favorite composers is Mendelssohn. And one of the... I don't think they're as recognized as they should be, but they are very famous, and his Songs Without Words. I really kind of... like re-fell in love with them by listening to them. There's 8 volumes, so I listened to many of them and I was like, wow, these are amazing pieces. And it was kind of interesting to read a little bit about what Mendelssohn said himself about these letters and about these songs. And in a letter, he actually said that he specifically wanted these songs to not have words. And I thought that was kind of a key point for me in my exploration. Like, why, what is he saying so much that he himself is like, no words to these songs? He even said that the words expressed something like, the words expressed to me by the emotions behind this music are far too definite to be put into words. They're not indefinite. And so that was kind of the reason behind Mendelssohn's Songs Without Words and where I sort of expanded from.
Yeah. Well, you had a number of those to choose from, even the ones arranged for violin. I'm wondering, is there any specific reason you chose the 3 that you did?
There isn't. That's a good question. It's a little complicated. I mean, honestly, I got to a point where I listened to them and I loved so many of them. I had like 20. I had enough to have a whole album of just Mendelssohn songs. And I realized that wasn't quite the point here. It was tough to narrow them down. And I just wanted 3 very different characters. And so there was a whole process of whittling it down, and it's kind of a long story, but eventually I came up with these 3, but they're all beautiful, and it's really unfortunate that I couldn't do more. I mean, if people have the chance, just sit down and listen to a bunch of his songs. It's worth it.
Talk a little bit about the Mahler, because I was really drawn to that beautiful arrangement. It really grabs you by the ear, and that, of course, being like a love letter, Songs Without Words right there. I see the connection, obviously, but the just the stark reality of the violin with the piano really makes it, boils it down to its essence. You know, it's a beautiful arrangement, beautiful playing also.
Thank you. I mean, the arrangement is, that was one of the key motivators for me to record Mahler's Adagietto, which has probably been recorded like 200 times, right, in its orchestral format. But this arrangement, yeah. I thought, really is truly unique and truly like captures something that maybe gives a whole new essence to this piece. You know, we all know the Adagietto, and it's a masterwork, okay? But it's, you know, I really wanted to do it once I found the arrangement because, you know, the Adagietto really speaks a little bit to this theme. I mean, it's, and the more I looked into it, the more I realized that it really was sort of a love letter that Mahler wrote. And he was, I mean, talk about expressing something that you can't possibly express in words. And for 10 minutes, he's like drawing upon these places in one's soul that we can't possibly capture, and that's why this piece is so well known and so amazing. And you know, Whittinger's arrangement kind of narrows down, because you only have a violin and piano to work with, it really sort of narrows down the essence of the piece and forces him in every moment to really capture the point of the Adagietto, which, you know, it's a unique challenge. I don't envy the work he did, but I think he did a great job.
In the time we have left, I want to talk about the two pieces that you commissioned for this album.
Yep.
The Michael Gandolfi and the Timo Andreas, both of them were sort of Boston connections for you, were they not?
Yeah. Well, Timo I actually first got to know when we were fellows together at the Tanglewood Music Center. I heard his music then. I was captivated by it. And I've obviously, Timo, he doesn't need an introduction from me. I mean, he's definitely... made his name in this field, and his music is just everywhere right now. And he seemed like a good fit for me in terms of commissioning. And then Michael, he was on faculty when I was a fellow at Tanglewood, and he heard me, and he really liked my playing, and we kind of expanded our relationship in these past 6-7 years. And I've heard some of Michael's most recent works, like what the Boston Symphony did as organ concerto. And I mean, Michael's music always makes me pay attention. And so I was really hoping he'd say yes, and he said, yeah, I'll write something.
I do love the piece that Michael wrote for you, especially, it seems like a duet. When I was first listening to it, my first thought was that, you know, this was kind of like one of those Steve Reich pieces where you recorded on top of yourself.
Right.
The double stops sound so independent of each other.
Right. I mean, it's you know, this was his idea, and I told him he could write for violin and piano if he wants, but he really wanted to explore the sound of a solo violin, I think this is the first time he's written for solo violin in his career so far, and that's exactly what he did. He wrote, and at least he bookended the piece with these two giant passages of a duet, two voices singing songs at the same time, and you know, it definitely comes a little bit from the works of Bach, and Michael has talked about that before, but he, you know, the Timo and Michael, they both kind of ran with this idea: explore what happens when words cannot possibly express what you need them to express, and they both did it in their own, you know, unique ways and languages, which is what I wanted, so it's perfect. I really hope these pieces will get a lot of play, and I hope people will start playing them and programming them in their own, you know, concerts. And I really hope that my commissioning them will do something to the violin, expand the violin rep.
Violinist Yevgeny Kutik, whose latest album is called Words Fail, and you can learn more at yevgenykutik.com. We'll also link to that from our website at wgte.org. Yevgeny, thank you so much for spending some time with us today, and best of luck with your new recording.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. I really appreciate it.